The NBA feels like it's about to blow up. Kawhi's going where? LeBron's texting whom? What will the super teams be? And how do the Jazz approach free agency? It's all coming up, plus your questions on a free agency primer, a Thursday edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky little numbers, sort of look behind the curtains and all the fun stuff that goes on in the NBA. I have a funny story to tell to start, and then we'll get into the wildness, take your questions, walk through the Jazz NBA free agency approach, what they can do, the different mechanisms. I think I've got it figured out. It's pretty complicated, though. Funny story is my daughter has this thing for eighth grade bingo that she has to do, and it's kind of like your summer activity. So it includes, like, you know, helping out around the house and reading X amount of books and doing all these various, you know, fun stuff and different things, trying something new. And so they want them to fill out their little bingo thing. And one of them is to listen to a podcast. And she put the little marker on that. And I said, oh, what'd you listen to? She goes, Dad, I have to hear it every morning. Good point. All right. Here's where we sit right now. Actually, let me back up a second, just because this will get lost in it. Grayson Allen yesterday had his introductory press conference. He was great. Another super bright kid, very thoughtful, very had a little bit of kind of revealing of himself, which I like. I get nervous with these players have all been so trained that they'll never share anything about their emotions and who they are and what they feel like. And I thought his answer from Kyle Goon about whether or not he felt he had a chance to redefine himself and reprove who he is. And he said, you know what? I just don't care about that. I'm not going to say I didn't once, which is the revealing part. He says, I cared way too much 2 years ago, but I've moved past that and I don't care about that. It was interesting. I thought it was such a great answer. The question I was going to ask him, and maybe as I get to know him better, I'll ask him later, is whether or not he got to a point in which he felt as though he, because every action he ever took was being micro-analyzed and looked at, whether he felt the same way, whether he felt that he had to keep an eye on absolutely everything he ever did because of exactly that fact. And that he was so cognizant of how everything he ever did was being evaluated that it impacted his behavior. That was really the question I was going to ask instead. Instead, I asked him about just basketball stuff. And I got some interesting things. One is he talked about just how he consciously knew he was not at the rim at all this year and not at the free throw line compared to what he was before because Bagley and Carter were down there. And then if you go back to his sophomore year, Brandon Ingram was the power forward. And so he played this spread floor and was able to do all sorts of things that he wasn't able to do. And that when I asked him which player he is, he said, I think I'm both. I think I'm both the guy who can drive, get to the rim, attack, make plays, and the guy who played on the outside as a shooter. And I think that's what the Jazz hope, too. I do think that's where he's been undervalued, is what he did his sophomore year, driving to the basket, going to the basket, playing on an open floor, playing with that type of advantage. I do think he's been undervalued in that regard. So I thought he was terrific. Absolutely terrific in his press conference yesterday. I loved the answer about, you know what, I don't care. And I don't mean that rudely. I just don't care the way I once did. And I did care before. It was a maturity comment that you get from a kid who's spent 4 years in college. And then I liked that when he talked basketball, his understanding and knowledge of the game is great. I thought he was appropriate as a first-round draft pick to defer to his teammates and who they are, and was knowledgeable of the system. So he checked all the boxes yesterday. He was really quite fabulous in what he did in his press conference yesterday. Now I get to watch him. A few summer league notes for you. Tickets are available still, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. 3-on-3 tournament is going on. They have it broken up into like 50 different brackets. So find somebody. They closed sign-ups last night, but I've heard you could still get in if you didn't sign up. It's all one day. It's out on the parking lot across the way from the opening day. That's going to be just an incredibly awesome event. They also have just all sorts of fun events and face painting and this and these and those and out of the concourse. And just it's a great fun. It's $8 a ticket. So make sure you get out for Summer League coming up here. Really well done. Jonathan Reinhart runs it, does a super job with it. And it's back at Vivint, so it'll be a great super event, good atmosphere. And Trae Young versus Jaren Jackson at 5 o'clock on Monday, and then the Jazz play the second game that night. So that's a huge that's a huge one. And then you get to watch the Jazz against Trae Young and Jaren Jackson the next two ball games after that. All right, the league feels like it. We'll get into the Jazz free agency. But the league feels like it's about to just absolutely crazy explode. So huge stuff has happened already this morning. The Spurs seem to be, according to reports, I don't know any of this. I haven't talked to anyone in the league. The Spurs seem to be ready to move on, which is, a huge statement in of itself. So the first part of this is that the Spurs seem to understand that Kawhi Leonard is not coming back. He's made it clear. He wants out. He wants to go to L.A. It's been an orchestrated plan the whole time, and there's not a lot you can do to stop it. It's an unfortunate thing. It probably should make, the Spurs are a pretty good organization who've done things very well. Something went wrong in the out of Tim Duncan transition with LaMarcus Aldridge and Kawhi Leonard on back-to-back years, but this is a pretty perfect organization, and they've got guys who want to get out. That should probably make every organization in the league very, 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 very nervous. The other thing that's happened is Stephen A. Smith, who for all of his bluster, by the way, I don't have a lot of times where he's ever missed on a story. He did start as a Philadelphia Inquirer news reporter. He's pretty well connected on these kind of things. It's not something that he misses a lot on. Like, he'll give you crazy opinions that I disagree with, but my memory on him is a pretty solid, strong reporter. And he is reporting that LeBron texted Kevin Durant, maybe in jest or maybe in seriousness or maybe a little of each, about why not join me with the Lakers. So that could be one of a few things. That could be LeBron really wants to go to L.A. and is suddenly terrified he doesn't have everybody come with him. The Lakers, from talking to people who understand the cap better than I do, really have to move Luol Deng if they're going to be able to bring in both LeBron James and another free agent and then trade Kawhi Leonard for Kawhi Leonard. If they're going to get all three, they would have to get it done by having a trade of Luol Deng somewhere. And maybe they're willing to put Lonzo Ball or Brandon Ingram in a deal, but my feeling a little bit with the Lakers is that they have to trade Brandon Ingram to go get Kawhi Leonard, and they have to trade Brandon Ingram to go get to trade Luol Deng. Does that make sense? Let me say that again, that they have to trade Brandon Ingram to go get Kawhi Leonard to make the Spurs agree to the deal. They also kind of have to trade Brandon Ingram with Luol Deng to be able to trade that. The reports from Woj are that the Celtics and the Spurs are in these conversations for Kawhi Leonard. The Celtics get mentioned in this maybe in order, I don't know. There's always a reason why stories come out, right? Like, every story that gets out usually has a reason why it got out. So the big story, obviously, is Kawhi on the verge of being traded, it seems, in the next 36 to 48 hours. It really feels like it's going to happen. It may not. Things can happen. Part two of this is then LeBron seems more and more like he's going to L.A., which we've kind of known for a long time when it happens. Part three is, where does Paul George fit, or is Kevin Durant fit? Like, is Kevin Durant? That'd be crazy. Can you imagine Kevin Durant and LeBron James and the Lakers together? Part four of this is, can the Lakers move Luol Deng? Is someone willing to play that game? Backing up to part two of part three, because it just gets common, is Paul George. So if Paul George, there's no scenario in the world, in my opinion. How's that for a caveat? So my thought is, there's no way if LeBron goes to LA and Paul George can get there, that he's not going, right? Okay. If Paul George cannot get to LA, I don't think he's staying in Oklahoma. I know everything that's being said, and I have said this the whole week. I admire Paul George's representation. They have done this so perfectly. He forced his way out of Indiana, didn't look great out during that period, went to OKC, has been a model citizen in Oklahoma City, has been respectful and nice to Oklahoma City. But I think the entire time has been there with the intention of leaving, exactly as he had when he was in Indiana, to get to LA or someplace where he can win a championship or have a better collection of players. And he is being just terrific in how he talks about Oklahoma City, what his experience is there, how he likes it, how he's willing to come back. All of those things he's just done marvelously. But I don't buy it. I just don't think he's going back there. Now, where is he going? Philadelphia would seem, particularly if LeBron just left the Cleveland Cavaliers to go to LA and the East is that wide open, Philadelphia seems like, if you're playing somewhere to win, like I'm putting Oklahoma City and Philadelphia on a, sorry, and admittedly I'm biased against Oklahoma City, but if you go put these on a chart right here and you start to weigh them, roll on team, who gets the ball primarily, scoring, chance to win, like Philadelphia just rises up. What gets interesting, frankly, is that the truth of the matter is Utah's better than Oklahoma City. You're not playing with Russ. That's not a positive. Playing with Russ is just not a positive. Like, playing, Utah's better than Oklahoma City. It's closer to LA. It's an immaterially different city. It's better, but, like, if you're staying in the West and you're not going to Philadelphia, then frankly, Utah's, and you're not going to LA, Utah's probably the next best option. Now, this kind of gets us into our next part of this show of, like, if that was realistic that Paul George suddenly said he wanted to go to Utah, what does it take for Utah? And holy smokes, what does it take for Utah? And we'll touch on that. Today's show is brought to you in part by Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street. Blake over in Linden and all the guys in Murray are the Murdoch brand. Is really important. No regrets. Car washes for life. What, like, if you owned a car dealership, what can you do to make the customer feel like you're doing everything you possibly can for them? Car washes for life. Safety inspections for life. 5-day price match guarantee. Okay? Those are part of the no regrets. Longer service hours. What, all the things you can do to make it convenient, that's what the Murdochs try to do. There's some limits on what you can do in pricing, right? You only get the car for so much, those kind of things. Now, that's where Hyundai, the brand, comes in, because Hyundai brand gives you more for your dollar when it gets to lining up all the features that you can get, plus the 100,000-mile Hyundai Assurance warranty, and that's why we just bought a Hyundai Santa Fe. 4646 South State Street in Murray. We're also in Linden. Stop by, check out the Kona. If you're looking for a hybrid, don't forget about the Ionic. All right. I'll get to your questions in a second. If the Jazz were, let's walk through the Jazz offseason options. So let's say this happens. LeBron and Durant. Craziness. LeBron and Durant go to the Lakers. Kawhi Leonard is there too. Super team in L.A. and Paul George is left out in the cold. Philadelphia, for some reason, doesn't want him. I have no idea why that would be. So this is pretty unlikely. The Jazz would have to rescind the rights to Favors, rescind the rights to Exum, rescind the rights to Oop Epe Udo, rescind the rights to Tabo Sefolosha, rescind the rights to Jonas Rebko, trade Alec Burks, which would likely cost you a first-round draft pick. That's, like, best-case scenario that you're not giving up somebody else on the roster that you really like. Okay? So that's the price. Exum, Favors, first-round pick, A.B., Jonas, Tabo, and Udo. There might be minor changes in that. I'm not perfect on the salary cap this year. I feel significantly behind. I got to give credit to Salt City Hoops and Dan Clayton. They've really done a great job with their device they have on their website that gives me, you know, some concept of what you're trying to do with this team and how these things work. So that's what it would cost. Are you willing to do it? Probably have to rescind Raul Neto, too. Now it's a deal breaker. Love my guy. I think that would probably, you know, you probably have to do that, right? If you can get an all-star caliber top 20 player of that ilk, you know, it would be probably, it's hard to make that move because there's a lot of guys, but that would get you $30 million of cap space if I've done that right. So there's probably, you know, that gets you $30 million. And then you don't have any mid-level exception or anything because you operated under the cap. So then you would have, you know, you'd have different levels of exceptions you could use because you're operating over the cap, but you don't have the same ability. That's what it takes to do that. That's the same thing it would take, by the way, to do Aaron Gordon, some variation of that for Jabari Parker. The trick on Aaron Gordon and Jabari Parker is they're restricted, and you better make sure you're right. Right? At that point, your next salary moves you can make, I think, are an under cap exception, which is about $4 million. There's three levels of exceptions you can sign a player to. One is if you stay over the cap, you can sign someone for $8 million. If you are a taxpayer, which we're not, you can sign someone about $5 million. I'm doing round numbers. These are not exactly right. And if you're under the cap and then go back over, you can sign someone for $4 million. Okay? So 8, 5, and 4. It's really 8.5, 4 point. But let's just, you know, I try to make this easy. Salary cap's 101. Luxury tax. Salaries, let's go again. Round numbers to make it easier. Salaries 100. Luxury tax is about 125. It's actually 101 and 123, but just to make it easy. So that's option one. Option one is clear the deck for the Grand Slam. Okay? I know that's a bad analogy because you have to fill it. Clear the deck for the Grand Slam. The other one, there's some other variations of this. The other thing the Jazz could do is trade into space. If they're able to play around and get and stay, if they, depending on what happens, and they stay under. So, you know, you might I'm just making stuff up. I'm not saying this is what's going to happen. I'm just kind of giving you a number. Let's say you re-sign Dante, let's call it $8 million. I'm just playing with that. Favors sign somewhere else. If you have AB on your roster, you're still $12 million. If you rescind all the other guys, you're now $12 million under the cap if you've re-signed Dante at 8. Dante's cap hold is high. So you actually want to get your Dante deal done. The minute you know you're not going to the clear the deck Grand Slam, you want to get your Dante deal done pretty quickly because Dante's cap hold right now is likely larger than his first year contract. Depending if he gets stuff, okay? Does that make sense? Cap hold is what is currently holding your space. You can get Dante done at lower than his cap hold. You might be able to get Favors done at lower than the cap hold. Here's an interesting scenario. These are all the kind of things. You trade AB. You re-sign Dante for 8. You re-sign Faves for 12. You still are $12 million under the cap if you've waived everybody else. You only have 10 guys on your roster, so you'd be a little less than that. But the key number here is trying to be more than $8 million over the cap, because the mid-level exception we just talked about was $8.6 million, 8.5. So if you can stay more than $8.5 million over the cap, then you have a player that is able to end up signing with you for more than the mid-level that just about any other team can offer, because the Jazz are one of the few good teams that have cap space. Now, what's tricky in this market is I'm not sure who that player is. So just going through like free agents and actually using the Dunked On Basketball, I'm not suggesting anyone here. But like a Julius, you've already re-signed Faves, so I don't know if you want to, you've re-signed Faves under, no, Faves is left, so you have to replace Faves at this point. Isn't that how I had it? This was Faves signed somewhere else, you've re-signed, no, this is you've re-signed them both. Faves at 12, Dante at 8, and you have money. So you're probably looking for a wing or a stretch four or something of that nature. And, you know, I don't know who that guy is, but the market's going to be harsh on some of these guys. So if the Lakers have filled up, somebody like Julius Randle's out there, but you already have Faves back, so I don't know you want that. Luke Mbamute is probably floating around and going to be below the mid-level exception, but you could probably go play around in that game. You've lost Thabo at that point, so you have to replace that. That's a decent replacement. There's some guys out there. I don't think Thaddeus Young would sign for that little number, and again, he's similar on this scenario. You've re-signed Fave. There's some of the lower-level guys who can really shoot it, like a McDermott. I don't know what Zach LaVine is getting guaranteed, and you know, I don't know how he really fits. So there's just some interesting players. You'd have to figure out what you really like and want, and I don't want to be elitist out there. Kevin Looney out of Golden State's a free agent. There'll be some players dumped in salary. Marco Bellinelli's out there. Those guys probably are all under the mid-level. You're probably overpaying at some point there. But it just gives you that gives you a little flexibility. This is incredibly hard if you're the Jazz here, because there's so many moving pieces. Thabo's at July 1. Jonas is at July 9. Udo's at July 9. But there is that interesting scenario where if Favors and Exum don't have a huge market and you get them both done, you can actually stay under the cap. Now, by the time you do that, there might not be a lot of players left. Or maybe there you can absorb a salary from someone who's got a luxury tax problem. So there's a lot of really wild scenarios. The other scenario is bring it back and add one. So this is the third scenario. So scenario, I'm simplifying a little bit because there's just a million. But so scenario one for the Jazz is clear the bases, hit the grand slam. Number two is get Exum Favors done and maintain cap space. It's an interesting one. You have to have traded Alec Burks to do that. So you've probably given up a first-round pick for that cap space. I think there's somebody who should take AB, frankly. Maybe you don't have to give up a first-round pick. AB is still pretty good. If I'm Sacramento, I want AB. He'd be good for them. The third scenario is you don't trade AB. You bring back Dante and Faves. You hold on to any of the three, Cephalosha, Jonas, and Udo, or all three. Any of the three or all three. You are now back over the tax. If you keep all of them and you've gotten Exum and Favors at decent deals, you're at $112 million, which is a buttload, but the tax is like, what do we say, $125. You can now use your $8 million mid-level exception because you played above the cap the whole time. And then you could go add, and you probably at that point are looking to add a stretch four. Well, you've got Jonas back, so maybe not. I don't know. Maybe I don't know what you're looking for at that point. But that's where you go look. The interesting one, by the way, also, it's unfortunate for Jonas right now and Thabo, this market might be so bad for players of their level that their $5 million salary of Tabo and $4 million salary for Jonas is high. I know that's crazy, but there's a chance the Jazz have to evaluate this and say, you know what, we're overpaying for what the market is. Like, the comparable player to Tabo Cephalosha is probably Luke Mbamute. I don't know that he gets $5 million in the open market. Now, you better make sure you're going to go get him if that's why you're releasing Tabo. The comparable player of Jonas, I don't know that he's getting $4 million in the open market. But again, you have those guys, so maybe the right thing to do is to hold it. It's really complicated. But this final model is you're now playing with your $8 million, and you try to figure out what players out there that you can give the full mid-level. Avery Bradley? Kentavious Caldwell-Pope? Tyreke Evans? They have to decide they want to come for this. Will Barton? They may all get more than this. Wayne Ellington, dropped it. Great shooter. I'm just reading free agents. I don't have a preference. I'm not suggesting anyone here. I don't think you'd use it all on Joe Harris. You could use part of it on Doug McDermott, part of it on Marco Bellinelli. You could use, I don't know, $8 million a year, right? Part of it on Yogi Ferrell. Nia Bjelica's there again. So now you're just piecing somebody into your roster. Ryan Anderson's probably likely to get released at some point and going to be cheap. I don't know if you need a backup point guard and you like Elfrid Payton, but he'll be floating around, right? You know, I don't know what position Dante is. Maybe we're going to find out Dante's like a fast break three who can guard threes. We saw him guard Harden, who's kind of a hybrid three. It's really interesting. All right, I'll get to your questions next on this extended edition. We got about 15 minutes before I got to go do a radio show. It's going to be wild. Today's show is brought to you by the Advocates. Appreciate all the Advocates have done to support Locked On Jazz and also the work they do for Utahns. That was really interesting. Matt told a fun story when I was with him about getting together. He and his wife were at out at places, and people would say, ask him what he does. He's a lawyer. And then he kind of sheepishly say, well, I'm an injury attorney. And his wife finally said, stop being sheepish about it. You've built a fabulous company that helps people out in time of needs, and you do it amazingly well. And after 25 years, that is certainly true. UtahAdvocates.com. They get good results. They make sure nothing bad happens to you, and they treat their people well. The structure for them is the key. They map out the best single experience you can have from the very first second you call. When you call the Advocates at 801-355-5550, a lawyer calls you back within 60 seconds. The attorney understands your case, puts it in the schedule, maps out that experience, what your needs are in the process. Special teams units along the way of the 106-step process work on those pieces along the way, and they get it done. They have the craft figured out, and it's really a craft because only 1% go to trial, only 3% go to arbitration. Accidents are all different. The process, though, is all the same. That process that Utah Advocates has built means efficiency. Efficiency means productivity, means communication, means expediting your experience. 801-355-5550. That's 801-355-5550. All right, let's get to your questions on the extended edition. Let me see if I can do it online so I'm not picking up the phone and moving the phone that we're doing the live show on. All right. Let's see. What do you got for me? Oh, Ryan Dangerfield's always been good. But there, you guys have your own little conversation going. You're leaving me out. I kind of like it. How important is Dante Exum to the future of the Jazz? How important is it we re-sign him? Okay, you want the... And then Alex Bickmore just asked, what are the chances the Jazz bring Dante back? So if I'm totally honest, and I've joked about this, like that if I was in a meeting about Dante Exum, I would pretend I was getting a phone call. Like, I don't know. Like the kid. So here are the positives. Great kid. Great work ethic. Great commitment to being good. Super teammate. You know him and have worked with him, having a great level of invested time. But I really don't think that we know what he is. Wow, I just got a notification that the CEO of this major dental company, Mouthmate, is watching this right now. Shout out. So someone, Julio and Julia Mendoza just said, no way Dante is getting 8. He's getting 10 to 15. From whom? So if you believe Dante's getting 10 to 15, so that's the scenario where that's a really hard decision for the Jazz. The only way Dante is getting 10 to 15 are the Bulls are emptying out for him, the Hawks, Dallas. I think Dallas is about to do a DeAndre Jordan deal. Indiana's got $33 million, but I think they're going Aaron Gordon or something big. Or Phoenix is going to use $14 million of their cap space for Dante. They don't have a point guard on their roster, by the way. So one of those have to be the one that's empty, or Sacramento. Or Orlando. Now, it only takes one, so maybe you're absolutely right. Dante gets that number. It doesn't actually have playing out the cap. It's really just you have to make a value proposition of whether you think Dante's worth that. So, like, if Dante were to get $12 million, the only thing you're doing, and you re-sign Favors for 14, you're now pushing up toward the tax. Unless you let go Jonas or Udo, then you're not. You're pushing toward the tax to use the mid-level exception. But you still can get the Jazz have – Dennis has built nice flexibility in that regard for the Jazz, depending what the market is. They're going to be able to make a astute basketball decision. Sam asked Jabari Parker, Chris Middleton, Paul George. Paul George is the better player of all those. Chris Middleton is the second best. Let's see what else we have here. Let me go back to the very beginning. Wow, there's a lot. You guys had a fun conversation today. Good morning to Trent. Good. Matt Moon wants to know if he can meet Joe Ingles. Andy, who's always been really loyal to the show. I'll be in Vegas Summer League. Hopefully run into you there. I will not. Who should I be watching for in our squad other than Allen? I want to see Tony Bradley's development. The game changed on him a little bit this year, so it'll be interesting to see if he can be an elite offensive rebounder and whether he's improved his lateral quickness. He's never going to be a great rim protector. I think George Niang's worked really, really hard. I'll be interested to see if he's on the Summer League roster, how he plays. He's worked really, really hard. I'm impressed by him. So that would be my thing. I will not be at Vegas Summer League. I'll be watching it from home like all of you. Actually, I won't be home. I will be off. I'm taking a vacation. Stretch four or no stretch four, isn't that really the Favors decision? Hard to let go a great NBA finisher, but he has to go so we get a stretch four. I don't know if that's true, Dell, because you could re-sign Favors, stay above the cap, use your mid-level exception, and decent stretch four, have that stretch four and Jay Crowder, that player and Jay Crowder split time at the four, at the stretch four, and maybe you play the vast majority of your minutes spread out, but you still have the flexibility to have Favors and Gobert. Favors and Gobert work together. You just can't be dependent on it. And that's, I think, what the Jazz are going to try to build. But you could re-sign Favors and Exum, use your mid-level exception on a good stretch four. Does Grayson effectively re-sign Dante, and does it take away some of his minutes? This is a weird comment. I hope it takes away some of his minutes because that means Grayson Allen's good. But then I think in all likelihood, then I would hope that Dante's really good and that he takes away some of Royce O'Neal's minutes. Right? There's no reason why you couldn't play slide Dante to the three or play Joe Ingles, Dante Exum, Grayson Allen, and just this, and or Ricky Rubio or Donovan Mitchell, and just have this five guy thing going on there, and then Royce O'Neal can play some of it as the six defensively. I would hope that happens, because that means to me that Grayson Allen's good enough to take someone's minutes. Hi, Crystal. What does getting Allen mean for? Okay, that's kind of answered that. What does Allen mean for Dante? I think it means that if Dante gets a major offer, that we think Dennis Lindsay always talks about, you have to match salary to productivity. And he's been brilliant about doing that. That's a phrase you'll hear him use a lot. If Dante were to get an offer that exceeds productivity, the Jazz are not forced to match it because they believe Grayson Allen can play. That's the only impact it has. It gives the Jazz security. It does not impact the Jazz want or lack of want or where they feel on Dante. I don't know. Let me rephrase that. I haven't talked to anyone. That's my feeling on the situation. That's logical. Do you think we will pick up anyone new in free agency? I would suspect I just wrote out three different ways we can do that, and I think we're appealing. You have the number two coach of the year voting. You have the number two executive of the year. You have the defensive player of the year, and you have Donovan, who is number two in rookie. Like, we're appealing right now. So you have the clear the deck method where you get someone. You have the kind of in between where you can actually, if you get the good numbers on Dante and Derek, you can stay under. And then you have the third option, which is you stay over. I think you have to trade AB in that one. And you stay over in the third one and you get someone. So I would suspect that they do sign someone. If LeBron comes to the West, do you think that the NBA will consider dissolving East and West conferences? I think they should be considering it anyway. I don't know that that will be the reason. Who would be a realistic free agent target for us? Any favorites? Who would be ideal fit? I can't answer that question really because of the fact that I can't answer which of those three methods. I mean, I think our first free agent targets are Derek Favors and Dante Exum. And so then how those play out dictate whether you're going, you know, if they both go, then we clear the deck probably and go try to make a run at it. You know, the other areas, let's say Favors signs on day one with Atlanta and Dante signs on day two with Brooklyn, and all of a sudden we're, oh my gosh, well, then we clear it out. Then we clear the bases, clear all the salaries and play with a huge amount of room and see what we might be able to facilitate. Either a deal with someone else, make an offer somewhere, see what you might be able to go get done. See what trades might be available, who needs help on the cap, what you might be able to do. The cost to clear the deck, though, ran through it. It's Derek, Dante, probably a first-round draft pick, probably AB, probably Jonas, probably Udo, probably Tabo. Like, that's a huge, huge, huge cost. If somehow some of that cost just happens, then it changes the paradigm a little bit. But specific names, I have a hard time with that just because it's very hard to know where we are, what's happened, and the Jazz are going to be so incredibly researched and prepared that you know that they'll be able to react to that. So to some extent, I kind of think any free agent's a possibility. Like, look at them and evaluate whether they're good or bad or whether they fit. Like, someone like Anthony Tolliver might fit. Like, I don't know, I kind of like him. I don't know. Somebody like Amir Johnson to me. I'm a huge Amir Johnson fan. He's a great plus-minus player. He plays the game right. He just does things kind of Udo-esque. Like, he just does things right. Just a terrific guy to have on your team. Would our passing system be good for Greg Monroe, who struggled the last few years? I don't know. I'm just looking at free agent names. Elfrid Payton, I mentioned earlier. These aren't Rudy Gay, Yogi Ferrell. Like, I'm just naming players. We seem to have an abundance of guards and little thin everywhere else, especially if we can't keep Favors. What do you think we will be looking for in free agency? You know, I think we've got a pretty versatile roster, but everyone's short on wings, and our pure wings would be Ingles and O'Neal, and maybe Dante turns into one of those because there's just such a... I mean, Trevor Ariza's like the only wing on the market. But, you know, if you play Favors at the 4 and the 5 and you have Udo and you have Bradley, you're pretty deep in the center position. And if you have Jarebko still and you have Tabo healthy and you have Crowder, you're pretty deep in that 3-4 stretch position. So I actually think Dennis has built a pretty wide-ranging roster. I think it's unlikely we get Paul George. I just think it's an interesting concept. If he suddenly gets boxed out of the Lakers, I just still don't believe he's staying at OKC. I think he's going to Philly at that point. I like the idea of Joe Harris from the Nets, free agent, great three-point shooter. Your thoughts? Would there be mutual interest? Would there be money to get him? Joe Harris shot the three great last year. I don't know if he's restricted or not. I don't think so, but he might be. Brooklyn has a lot of money. They don't have a lot of money. They have some money. So I'm not sure why Brooklyn lets us take him. Like, they just developed him and got him, so I'm not sure why Brooklyn would let him go. But he's a nice player, played at University of Virginia, solid, pretty good athlete, great shooter. So Something to that. We got about 3 minutes left. What do you think is happening with the Austin Rivers, Marcin Gortat trade? Austin seems like the superior player. Gortat seems like the bad pickup at center, even if the Clippers trade DeAndre. I'm not sure I totally see it that way, but I think that the Washington Wizards had to change their roster. I think DeAndre is supposedly on the verge of being traded. The reports last night were maybe to Dallas, which gets interesting because Dallas is kind of holding that big man market as the one team out there with cap money that needs a big man. So Boston, you know, Chicago has $25 million. And they have Markkanen, Portis, Lopez, a fourth one I can't think of, Felicio. I'm not sure they're going big. Atlanta's got $22 million. No one's quite sure what they're doing. Philly's got Embiid. Indiana's got $33 million. They'll probably add a power forward. Sacramento's got $18 million and just drafted Bagley. So Lakers at $57 million, if they move Dang. Orlando has $16 million if they lose Aaron Gordon, but so maybe there just don't seem to be a lot of spots for bigs. Dallas seems to be the one that's holding on to that big man spot. If they take DeAndre Jordan, that gets interesting. Hello from Hungary. I hate the NBA stars don't even consider playing in Utah during free agency. We have everything you'd want. Great coach, great organization, defensive superstar that doesn't need the ball, a young star. I mean, I think they're considering as much as I'm sure I would guess Paul George has taken a thought about it. They aren't considering, like Milwaukee can say a lot of the same stuff. No one's considering that either. So most teams, teams aren't considering. Oklahoma City, they've had great players. No one's considering that either. So it's not unique to Utah. All right. I think that wraps us up. We've been very long today. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm off tomorrow, and I'll be checking back in with you Monday for Summer League, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday next week, and then I'm off for a while. So the fireworks will have started. If I need to jump back in during that period, I will. Thanks to Murdoch Hyundai as well as the Advocates. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday. Hope to see you at Summer League.